Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Can I just ask, we pray this prayer, and you just pray it after me. Say, Father God, I'm so thankful that Jesus is my Lord. He's the forgiver of my sin. He's my hope. He's my joy. And I look to you this morning to feed, to nourish, to fill me with hope through your word today. Amen. Amen. As you take your seats, I just want to welcome you and trust that this morning will be a time of refreshing in your life and my life. And some people have been asking me, so how's it going with Janet? Well, I do need to tell you that it's like 4 weeks left. So the time is going pretty quickly. So just want to give thanks to all of you for your prayers and your standing with us in this time. We'll look back one day and see what God did through this. But welcome the visitors again. Before the service, I know we've taken up the morning offering, but there was somebody needed petrol this morning. Rob needed a tank of petrol. I don't know if there's anybody, maybe 500 rand should fix it. I just thought it might be. Thanks, Bill. Okay, so while Bill's doing that, let's just turn to John chapter 12 in our Bibles. There's been a real sweetness here this morning, and don't you love that about coming into the presence of God with His people? You know, you can't really do this on your own, sitting in front of TBN. I love TBN, and there's some really good teachings, but there's something about being part of a collective whole body where we have communion, where we worship, where we show love, that you can't do outside of a local church. So I thank God for the local church that's established on apostolic foundations and in relationship through apostolic networks with the wider body of Christ. And I thank God for His word, the Bible. If it wasn't for the Bible, what happened in the first century would not have been perpetuated. And God, through the apostolic writings, gave us the doctrines we would need for life and godliness, to keep preaching the gospel. And there's a beautiful story in the book of John, chapter 12 and verse 1. It'll come up. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, who He had raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper. All leaders like being invited to a good supper. And amen. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of the most costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Now, in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they refer to the other disciples were also indignant. So it wasn't only Judas, but Judas just took it to another level. You know, you can be offended and then deal with it, or you can be offended and it deals with you. And John only records Judas. And verse 6, this He said, not because He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and He had the money box. And He used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you'll always have with you, but me you will not always have. And in Luke and Mark, it says that Jesus said, and wherever this message is preached, she will be mentioned as a tribute to her. Beautiful story, kind of a story fitting for this morning. There's a sweetness here, presence of Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and it's all for Jesus. And something in Mary's heart knew that. She knew it was all about him, and she didn't fully even know what this prompting was in her spirit to do what she was going to do, but she just followed it and went through with it. And Jesus loved it. Because there's something about extravagant, sacrificial worship that's beautiful to him. But it's interesting, in the same room, there were two very different spirits at work. The one was a 300 denarii outpouring, which is equivalent to a year's salary. An average year's salary was one denarii a day. One of the other gospels says it was a year's salary. I mean, imagine, can you work out how long it would take you to save up a year's salary? Okay, just think about a year's salary now. You take your month, you times it by 12. Just joking. That's a joke. Now, you don't just save that up in 1 year, because then you couldn't live that year. Even a 10%, that's going to take you 9-10 years. So you can understand the rational, logical indignation. In the room, the disciples were scratchy about this, and Judas in particular. So you got two spirits happening at the same time. But it all comes down to a matter of the heart. And that could be a title for this, is the story of two hearts. There were two different hearts being displayed here. The one was just a woman who was prompted, who poured out something extravagant, and others who became logical and stood back and tried to work it out in their own thinking. It's almost like Mary had been so deeply touched by the saving of her brother Lazarus. She had been so deeply touched by his raising from the dead, although he would die again one day. He wasn't immortal. But I mean, I got a brother I'm very close to and very dear, and he's young. And if her brother was young, maybe younger than her, it would be a terrible thing to see him die. And then the person who brought him back to life again, her heart was so deeply touched and moved. It's a heart thing. No wonder Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is. There's this connection between treasure, our resources, our time, our gifts, and what's going on in our heart. That's why even a simple thing like a budget or where we spend our money is a good indicator of what's going on in our heart. For Mary, it was just a no-brainer. She was prompted, she did it, she went through with it. Okay. Are you with me so far in this little story? Can I stop and put in a parenthesis here? This little illustration with Bill and Robbie this morning. Okay? Now, there's a reason why Bill was so responsive and there was no grief or emotional distress involved with parting with his money. Because I gave it to him before the service. And I told him that when prompted, he was going to go over to Robbie, who was also prompted before the service, and who knows very well to give me my money back. But here's the illustration. Here's the point. Why didn't Bill feel any grief or remorse or emotional conflict? Because it wasn't his. And when he went over to Rob, here's the thing. Rob was just so grateful and hugged him and thanked him. And Bill, I know in real life you wouldn't do this, but he was taking all the credit for it. And I'm standing here going, hang on a minute. I gave you that money to give to him. Now you go stand there and you gloat it all up and you suck up all the fame and all the compliment and you make it look like you just the bee's knees, and I'm here going. Now I know I don't have to explain this to a lot of people, but let me go through it here. When we understand that God is our source, we don't have to feel any remorse when He prompts us to give and to be generous and to meet somebody's need. Amen? When God is our source and we understand that it all comes from Him and we are just His stewards, conduits to flow through us, we don't have to get all tight and twisted about it. And what's more, we don't have to take the credit. And it's not even a lie to say, somebody else gave me this to give to you. Because someone else did give it to you to give to them. And what she gave was big time, a year salary. Anyone given a year salary? I don't know. We got as far as we gave a vehicle away once, and that was hard enough emotionally. But, you know, you go through these different stages when you give something away. It's like you get prompted, so there's excitement. And then the logic kicks in of, must be crazy. And then comes the, yeah, but don't doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. Faith acts. So I step out in faith, and then two emotions are side by side. There's grief. I've just lost something valuable. And the other side, there's this joy that comes. And there's no better thermometer to show you the condition of your heart. And you know that's what God is all about? Did you know that that's what God's number one priority in your life on earth is? For this short spurt and blip in time that you live is heart? Because in the first birth, we were born selfish and greedy. It comes with the turf. It's who you are. It's what you're born with. Wasn't your fault. It was even a form of survival, whatever, whatever, whatever. You were born with selfishness and greed and envy. Now God, in the second birth, puts in us His nature. And He's the most generous person in the universe. For His love was expressed through giving Jesus to us. So He puts His nature in us because He wants to change. His change in us is only going to happen when our minds are renewed to what has happened in our spirits. So we get lots of opportunities. Isn't that amazing? I mean, even Judas was put in a job of his where he had his very weakness, and he had the best opportunity to overcome it and be healed. But he displayed what many commentators refer to as a pride and a poverty spirit. You know, a pride spirit, when it comes to money, is you want people to think more of you by how you dress, wear, holiday, etc. So if someone compliments a person with pride, they would say, say compliments, oh, what a nice outfit you're wearing. They'd go, well, this is actually the old one. The new one's arriving. It's much more, much nicer than this one. But a poverty spirit works opposite and is just as dangerous. The poverty spirit, oh, that's a nice outfit. Wow, where'd you get that? Oh, it's nothing. It was on a sale at Pep Stores. Two very different spirits at work. One wants to think more of, one wants to think less of. In fact, I've got to be careful of that second one. Poverty spirit is a very deceptive, dangerous one. Devious. I get invited to Belarus. Never been to Eastern Europe, would love to have gone. And I was planning to go, except the date's changed. And it's been... So I'm chatting to a couple of guys at the marriage course. You know, they've just had this marriage course at the church. It was a great hit. Well done, Shane and Helena's life group, for that. And I was there talking and mentioned about Belarus. And then I just had to add, oh, and by the way, the church in Belarus is paying for the tickets and the accommodation and the... And one of the guys popped up and he said, oh, you don't have to qualify it like that. We're just happy you're going. Not like happy you're going, but we're happy for you that you got this opportunity. And he actually, it was such a good point. I thought, yes, why am I qualifying it? Well, I know I'm qualifying it because I have these little darts that come from time to time, like when we go on holiday, like, do pastors also go on holiday? Or, you know, if you're at McDonald's or something, to take a selfie and pastors eat McDonald's. My best all time was walking shopping on a Monday with Janet and someone bumped into us and, oh, pastor, oh, do you shop? No. My food miraculously appears in the fridge and angels come in the night and, sorry, I'm digressing. Spirit of poverty spirit. You got two hearts being displayed in the same environment. The one is a heart that hasn't been touched, clearly. And the other one is a heart that has been deeply touched. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Yeah, should we turn there, Ryan? It's kind of right at the end of all of this, but I want to read it now. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. This is the miracle of new birth. And at the miracle of new birth, something changed in our affections. I don't understand why there's so much suffering in the world. I mean, does it sometimes bother you? Just the enormity of suffering? But I'd like to suppose, yeah, that selfishness, greed, and envy are the fundamental causes, excluding maybe some natural catastrophes, which could also be dealt with differently if it wasn't for selfishness, greed, and envy. Can you see why God is after the heart? Can you see the greatest miracle he can do is give us an opportunity to have our hearts changed through this gospel? I don't know what happened to Judas. Maybe he realized he wasn't going to be the big shot anymore after Jesus announced his crucifixion. You know, some people get offended or disappointed by their leaders and the movement or the church they're in, and, you know, they're no longer going to get what they thought they were going to get or whatever it is, and they get offended. If they don't deal with that, it's an ugly thing, and it manifests ugly. I could tell you so many stories, but I'm out of time for that. If we allow God to transform our selfish heart with his nature, we will give for the sheer joy of giving. We will serve and help for the sheer satisfaction of helping. We will bless others because that's exhibiting the Father's heart. That's why the very concept of a giving to get doctrine is the antithesis of the deep heart surgery God wants to do. Can you see that? Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Jesus says that after a whole lot of other stuff, like turn the other cheek, and if someone's in need, help them, and forgive one another, you forgive your brother. It's all about giving, 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 giving. Then right at the end he says, oh, and by the way, in your giving, you're not going to come short. Because as it passes through you, God's going to take care of you. You came into this world selfish. Even your darling little baby knows no better. It's code for gimme, gimme, gimme. My surname is Moore. Okay? Born in that nature, it takes heart surgery. And that is what God is all about. And the very thought that we would give to get, play God like a one-armed bandit, although I think you push buttons now. But play God like a casino. If I put this in, I believe I'm going to get a whole lot back. I know none of you in this church have ever thought like that. But I had a guy phone me a few months ago and demand the money back that he put into this church because he had no return. I kid you not, no exaggeration, gospel truth. Now, maybe it's not his fault. Maybe some prosperity teachers never explained this thing properly. That right at the end of give, 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 Jesus says, oh, and by the way, my Father's going to take care of your needs. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Isn't that beautiful? Mary didn't give to get. She didn't go in there like, and I'm going to pour out this 1 pound of spark, and then when I go home, there's going to be 10 waiting for me. It didn't even cross her mind. It was her heart was so changed. But did you know that when you give with the right heart, you are always rewarded? Did you know? You can't change that. I mean, that's just, sorry if you don't like that thought, but you're just going to have to deal with it. That's the way it is. You can never outgive God from a good heart. You can never outgive God from generosity. God is making a generous people that see needs and meet needs, that see where they can help, where they can serve, and give of their gifts, their times, their treasure. And when we do it with the right heart, Jesus says, what she has done will be remembered forever. Let me tell you, there's a reward in there. There's this woman going to be walking around in 30 trillion years' time. You're going to say, oh, you're the lady that anointed Jesus. I mean, even Coca-Cola doesn't have that kind of rap. 30 trillion years' time, for Coca-Cola will be forgotten. Much better stuff in heaven. Doesn't rot your teeth and stuff. Talk about branding. Here's a woman whose name throughout the last hundreds of years, before Coca-Cola, the last 2,000 years, whenever this gospel has been proclaimed, that was her reward. But not only, the reward is that she anointed Jesus for burial. The most cataclysmic, history-altering, life-changing experience of the cosmos. She was the one who anointed him for that ministry. You follow the burial procedure. In the Hebrew culture, there was a very specific anointing and taking care of someone for burial. And that didn't happen because of the way events transpired around Gethsemane, Herod, the garden, Caiaphas, the tomb, the woman who went and it was too late. She had the opportunity. You see, when we serve with the right heart, a heart that has been touched, when we give from a place of, I know it wasn't mine in the first place, I'm pouring it out under his instruction and his direction. When we live a generous lifestyle, I'm sorry, deal with it. God is for you. And there is reward. And there is going to be favor on it. Because he's looking for channels of generosity to change this world. I mean, imagine for 1 year the whole world turned generous. Can you imagine? You know how much stuff is hoarded up? 1 year. Total generosity, all 7 billion people, even the poor. Because this idea of, well, when I've got a lot, then I'll be generous, is a lie. You'll never be more generous rich as you are right now, even if you're poor. The widow's mite proves that. Not all rich people are stingy, and not all poor people are stingy. God is transforming the hearts. In the same room, there were two hearts contrasted by the simple thing that something had happened deep down inside her. I want to finish with on TBN, one of the good guys other than Creflo Dollar, I think, and Andrew Womack and Joseph Prince is a guy by the name of Robert Morris. I think some of his stuff's also very good. He tells a story, thought it was brilliant, about a guy in the church. He'd kind of got a revelation on being generous and a giver. And he started at whatever percent, and he just kept growing and growing until it was ridiculous. He was like sowing 70%, but he was just, the more he gave, the more he was blessed. And it was just one of those stories. Anyway, it comes to a stage where he felt God say, they need to give their house away, their home. Wife, your husband just announced that he wants to give your house away. And the story goes that they did. And the story just gets better and better. But that's not the purpose of this morning. What I want to highlight was the wife was interviewed and asked, so how did you feel about your husband, you know, giving a bit of money and clothes and a car is one thing, but giving away your home, how did you feel about that? Her answer, I was delighted. Because you see, I know what my husband used to be like. He was a stingy SOB. He was a tightwad. He was a drunkard. He was a womanizer. He was a God blasphemer. And I know when Jesus touched his life, everything changed about him. I've got the husband I wanted back again. And I trusted him when he said, let's give away 10 rand. I trusted him when he said, let's give away my motorbike. I trusted him because I've seen every time because of my husband's heart, we have been blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And I'm delighted. What a response. What an Ephesians 2. But you were dead. But God, through grace. I'm talking here this morning about heart condition. If you hear me talking about giving to the church, you missed the whole sermon. Please buy the tape, re-listen to it. I'm talking so much bigger than that. I'm saying God has given the gospel to change our heart. And this is the bottom line. Giving is important because it does a supernatural work in our hearts, and it's our heart that God is after. A generous people, generous with their time, generous with their words, generous with their serving, generous when they see needs, never taking the glory for it, but always giving the credit to God because they know who their source is. Oh, I wish I had this revelation 6 years ago. But it's never too late, amen? Can we stand up? I see many new souls flooding into the kingdom of God. I see many healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. Because Jesus said, if you're faithful with that which is least, referring to mammon, if you're faithful with that, God can entrust you with true riches, heavenly riches. And I don't know about you, but I'm saying, God, I'm not content with the way things are. I know there's so much more. And if you need to change my heart, I do know that you need to change my heart, then won't you start right now? Just give me a revelation again of who you are and what you've done. And that you are the most generous God in the world, and that you're my source, and I'm your steward over little things. But help me be faithful with these little things, that you keep entrusting us with more and more. So right now, Holy Spirit, would you do deep heart surgery? Deep heart surgery where my heart has become like a Judas, just worrying about me and my kingdom. Help me, my heart become like a Mary who is giving it all for your kingdom. Just an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of sacrificial worship in all that I am and all that I have, poured out at the feet of Jesus. Even if people don't like it, even if people misunderstand it, it came from you, it belongs to you. My reward is in you, my hope is in you. I pray right now for every person who really feels like their store of seed has run out. And I pray, Lord, that you would give seed to the sower. I pray for everyone whose business is just under unnecessary and just unexplainable attack, that you would provide divine strategy and divine wisdom to think out of the box, to think new, to think creatively, to dream again. I pray for every person here, Lord, who is unemployed, been struggling. And we ask now, Holy Spirit, would you give them the most generous heart where they are right now as they anticipate that their God is for them, that their God knows every hair on their head and every day plotted out before them, and that hope would come to the hopeless right now. Hope to the hopeless. And my friend, I spoke about two births this morning. I spoke about the first birth where we were born into fallenness and selfishness and death. But then there's the second birth. It's the birth into life. It's the birth into generosity. It's the new birth that Jesus said, lest you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you've never been born again, I plead with you today. This is an opportunity for you not to join a church, not to get on a church roll, but to surrender yourself and to accept the free gift that Jesus offers. And all you do, all He has left for you to do is to ask and receive. Because everything Jesus did on the cross, He did for you. He did it as you. You can't improve on that. But it's got to be accessed through this thing called trust, which is simply, you said it, I believe it, that settles it. Jesus died in my place for my sin that I could never pay for. Right now, I receive it, a free gift. And if that's you now, can I please pray for you? Please let me pray with you. Just where you're standing. Just where you're standing. In your heart, pray this prayer with me, sentence by sentence. Maybe to help you, we'll all just pray it, but you know you're praying it between you and God right now. Say, Father God, I believe you sent Jesus Christ into this world to live the life I could never have lived. So that He got my imperfection at the cross. He became sin, so that through faith, I can receive His perfection, which I never deserved, by faith. I believe Jesus died and was buried and rose again, seated in heaven, and will return again. My friend, all God is looking for is that faith in your heart that says yes to Him. So Lord, I thank you for every person who prayed this meaningfully, maybe for the first time, maybe as a recommitment, but who said, I want to settle this today. I'm pouring myself out at the feet of Jesus today. And if that's you, don't you want to just look up at me? Make eye contact, because in a moment I want to look in your direction. I want to know who agreed that prayer with me. I want you just to as I look in your direction, just indicate, just raise your hand and say, yes, Steve, I prayed that this morning. Amen. Is there anybody else here? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anybody else? Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else? Please, no, not too much moving around, if possible. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Wow. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Now, sometimes we call people up and pray with them, and I think that's a good thing. Sometimes we don't. Can we just as a church right now, where we're standing, God saw every hand that went up. But I just feel as a church, can we just pray for them? Father, will you show yourself powerfully to those this morning who've raised their hands as an indication that they're placing their faith in Christ. Holy Spirit, would you come and just fall upon them and equip them, baptize them with power and with wisdom and with strength. Lord, would you cause the Word, the Bible, to become alive to them, open their eyes to see it like they never have before. And Lord, give them a deep hunger to want to press in more and more for the good things that you have for them in their lives. And God, may they feel the smile of heaven. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. And let's give the Lord thank you. We praise you, Father. Church, have an awesome day. Thank you for being with us in the middle, going into July school holidays. It's nice if you come to church. It means there's people in church. Have a wonderful day.